and we'll be done by 11:30.
Okay. Once again, we thank the Aaron Martha, Isidore, and Embrace Sylvansky Contemporary Halacha Program for sponsoring tonight's shiur. Now, what we did this semester is we broke the shiurim down into topics of first Inyanei Choshen Mishpat, which we already had a review of a while ago, it's posted online. And then we got into the next topic of Inyanei Eben HaEzer. So just to begin with that Eben HaEzer segment, the first shiur that we heard in this segment was a shiur from Rabbi Blau regarding how we solve the Aguna problem today. Now, the Aguna problem is relatively a modern problem. There is a ton of literature on Aguna, but it has nothing to do with what we're talking about. The classical case of an Aguna is, of course, a woman whose husband is somehow lost, presumed dead, but not proven dead. And then we have shailas about the halakhic standards of proof to permit the woman to remarry. But the modern-day Aguna problem is an issue that comes up basically in most cases, in 98% of the cases, or 99% of the cases, when a husband refuses to give his wife a get. Theoretically, we could have an Aguna the reverse way, right? You could have an Aguna because Bisman has after the chayim for being a gershom, so it could be that the wife refuses to accept the get. But in 99% of the cases...
No.
Okay, we'll continue. I just hung up a sign by the room.
I guess I wasn't.
In 99% of cases, Aguna problems are because the husband doesn't want to give a get. Now, in previous generations, Aguna problems weren't as serious because what we had was means of communal enforcement. Right? The community would impose sanctions on people. There was more of a sense of kehila. A guy wouldn't get any honors in shul. A guy wouldn't get anything. He'd be ostracized in society. And that made these loathsome individuals who don't like giving gittin to their wives, that made them give gittin. But Bisman HaZeh, we don't really have that either. So we have a problem of agunas. So there are three basic ways to rectify the aguna situation. Way number one is hafdalas kedushin. Way number two is a tenai. Way number three is financial conditions. Okay? All of these ways have very serious problems. The shiur will focus mostly on tenai, but let's just go through some of the others in passing. Hafglas kedushin. Okay? Afkein rabbanon lekedushe minei. The Gemara in Yevamos on Daf Kuf Tet has this expression of Chazal uprooting the kedushin without saying Kodem Mekadesh Adaita Derabbanan Mekadesh. Right, Tosfos points this out right there in Kuf Tet and Yevamos. The case over there is a fellow steals a young girl from the canopy on the way to get married. Zakhti Gemara, who asa shaloka hogen? He did something wrong, therefore we do with him shaloka hogen. We uproot his kedushin. Afke'in Rabbanan the kedushay minei. Now, Tosfos is uncertain as to whether we could do hafgas kedushin in a case when you don't say Kedas Moshe Yisrael. All of our weddings say Kedas Moshe Yisrael, but even so, I don't think any reputable rabbinic authority would sanction Hafgas Kedushin Bisman HaZeh. And that's because annulment, uprooting the Kedushin, right, is only mentioned in a few limited cases in Shas. We're really not Mafkia Kedushin anymore. There's a couple of cases in Shas, rare cases where Mafkia of Kedushin. Tosfos holds a few other cases. Tosfos adds on, the Rambam never adds on any other cases of Hafgas Kedushin. But the fact is that Bisman HaZeh, we don't do Hafgas Kedushin. So that is out. Moreover, right, some people today kind of try to do a fake Hafgas Kedushin. Rabbi Blau blended these together in his quick discussion of Hafgas Kedushin. Some people do a fake Hafgas Kedushin. They say, well, the marriage is null and void because of the general principle of Mekach Tov. If I buy a car and the car doesn't have headlights, right, or the car doesn't have seats or doesn't have a steering wheel, some important thing that you need in a car, right, so that would be a mekach tos. But there's a problem. Right? There's a caveat. In every mekach tos, we have a principle of sover v'kibel. If I got the car and it didn't have headlights, then I continue to drive the car because it's such a nice color and I like it, my wife likes it, somebody likes the car, I continue to drive it. La Maisa, right, I accepted this car with its defects. Similarly, to say Mekach Tolos on Kedushin, especially cases after years and years and years of marriage, which some people do, some illegitimate rabbis do that, Lamaisa, that's impossible. You can't do that, because it's going to be Sover Mekibel. They accepted, he accepted the, she accepted the mum, he accepted the mum, whoever the mum is, and you really cannot use Hafkas Kedushin, you can't use Mekach Tolos. It just won't work. Yeah.
Aren't they saying that the mum was not apparent then?
If they say that the mum was not apparent, but the question is, in order to say that it's a bottle, it has to be that in the moment that he finds out about the mum, he says, I don't want to be married to her. Or she says she doesn't want to be married to him. If for a split second she decided she's interested in continuing the relationship because, you know, he's a nice guy. So he has 16 different arms. Maybe he covers it up with a jacket, whatever it is. But Lamaisa, right, she decided he's a nice guy, they're married. You're stuck. So Bittul Kedushin, Hafkas Kedushin doesn't work. The one that we use all the time, which Rabbi Blau kind of got to all the way to the end of his shiur, but just to put the order slightly differently, is financial conditions. The RCA's prenuptial agreement is based on imposing financial conditions. What they basically do, Rabbi Willig put this together based on comments in the Sefer Nachlas Shiva, which is a standard Sefer of Shtaros that they use. The Nachlas Shiva from 300 years ago quotes from Takanas Shom of around 500 years ago that what they would do is that they would have Tosefes Mizonos. Every husband is obligated to support his wife, to feed his wife. Now, what you could do is you can obligate yourself that in the eventuality that we are not living together, but I don't give a get, what I am obligating myself to is an increased amount of mizonos that will continue to accrue every day. It becomes more and more and more money. And the cheshvin is that that financial incentive of losing big bucks will coerce you to give a get to your wife. But obviously you have to enter this on your own. You have to sign the prenuptial agreement. Rabbi Bleich has a slightly different prenuptial agreement than Rabbi Willig has. Unlike Rabbi Willig's prenuptial agreement, which is based on Tosefes Mizonos, and there's a little pamphlet that the RCA came out, it's edited by Basil Herring and Rabbi Kenneth Alman on the prenuptial agreement. Over there, Rabbi Willig has a 5-page essay maybe, about his prenup. Rabbi Bleich has an article about a prenup which is in his Hebrew language sefer. And in the English RJJ journal, Rabbi Bleich has an article that makes some hints to his basic position, but he doesn't spell it out clearly. Basically, the difference between Rabbi Bleich and Rabbi Willig is Rabbi Bleich's prenup involves a fixed sum that you obligate yourself to at the time of marriage. At the time of marriage, I obligate myself that I will give X number of dollars. Obviously, problems of asmachta have to be avoided. If it's a guzma, which it should be a ton of money in order to really force you to give the get. So you have to avoid the asmachta problems by using bezdin chashuv, me'achshuv, all of the ways around asmachta. That's Rabbi Bleich's position. That's Rabbi Willig's position. The conservative movement for many years, I think they still do it, they have what's called the Lieberman Clause in the Ksuba. What the Lieberman Clause has is two parts. Part number one is that in the event of the marriage beginning to disintegrate, we will go to the Bezdin of the Rabbinic Assembly, which is the conservative movement's Bezdin, and they will adjudicate all of our disputes. Part number two is that you obligate yourself to pay whatever amount of money the Bezdin determines is worthy, and that will coerce you to give the get. That will compel you to give the get. Now, the Rabbonim, when they came out with this Lieberman Clause in the Ksuba in 1954, all the Rabbonim were very upset with this. A few reasons. First of all, the Bezdin of the conservative movement, that's Rabbi Bleich writes in his piece, which is in Rabbi Blau's packet. You have the English language Rabbi Bleich article from the RJJ journal. Rabbi Bleich says, hey, the conservative Bezdin is just an invalid Bezdin. These people are not halachically, they can't sit for dinner. Problem one. Problem two is the larger issue of the asmachta, that you're obligating yourself to an undetermined amount of money, that whatever the Beis Din sees fit to compel me to give the get, that's how much I will obligate myself to. Big problems. Big problems. But the conservative Lieberman clause in the Ksuba was very helpful for us, because in 1983 there was a New York State case, New York State Court of Appeals, which apparently in New York State the Supreme Court is the lowest court. The Supreme Court is a court of original jurisdiction, and the Court of Appeals is higher than that. So in 1983 in the New York State Court of Appeals, there's a famous case called Avitzur versus Avitzur. And in the Avitzur versus Avitzur case, there was a girl, Susan Avitzur, who's married to a guy, Boaz Avitzur, and when they got married, they signed this agreement, etc. So the court ruled that at least the arbitration part of this agreement is absolutely binding. If someone enters, even though he's signing a ksuba, right? But the ksuba says that it will be adjudicated by a Beis Din, so you are obligating yourself to be adjudicated by the Beis Din. The court enforced that. The court said that you have to go to the conservative Beis Din. This is the basis for the other document that comes together with the RCA prenup. Right? One is the RCA prenup, which involves the Tosefes Mizonos. It uses Rabbi Willig's prenup, which Rabbi Zalman Nechemya Goldberg endorsed. The other thing that you sign when you get married is a binding arbitration agreement, which means that you are obligating yourself to go to, you can choose any Beis Din. Generally, if you sign the RCA form, it'll say that you go to the RCA Beis Din, but that's for other reasons. The fact is you're obligating yourself to go to a Beis Din, and the Beis Din will hear out your case. Fine.
Avitzur
was a New York State case where the court ruled that a conservative ksuba, which included the provision that you have to go to the Beis Din, is binding. And these people have to go to Beis Din. And that's the basis of all of these arbitration clauses.
They
signed before the marriage. The ksuba signed before the marriage. Now, the third issue, right? So there are three ways of trying to solve the aguna problem. Way number one, hafgat kedushin, bittul kedushin, that's a joke. Way number two, through financial conditions, that's really good, right? That works, that people should be encouraged to sign prenups when they get married. Way number three is probably the most lumpish way, but it is the way that is the least used, and it creates great problems, and this is the issue of a tenai. Right? Now, you know, you're in Maseches Kedushin, so I could get married, I'm Menashe Ani Oni, I'm Menashe Ani Osher, I could get married, a million different tenayim. So, what about if I make a tenai at the time of Kedushin, that in case we are separated, and I give a time limit, I say we're separated for 3 years, so the Kahai Gavna, I want the entire Kedushin not to be chal. Right? I can make it tonight. Yeah, do a tonight kufful. It could be very long dish. However you do it, right? Make a full-fledged tonight that this is your kedushin. But in Timsalaymar, we have 3 years that were separated, so then the kedushin is going to be null and void. So, technically speaking, kedushin can be done on a tonight. The problem is that the Gemara in Ksuba is on the Chayim Beis, on Gimel, on Dala, but it's a long sukkah. Yeah? The Gemara has a machlokas between Rav and Shmuel. Kincha al tonai, the kincha stam. Let's say you have a tnai in the kedushin, and then you have nisuin afterwards. So the Gemara says that according to Rav, the tnai that you made in the kedushin is going to be null and void. We forget about the tnai. We assume that you're full-fledged married, and tzricha himenu get. She needs a get. That's the shita of Rav. And the shita of Shmuel is that she does not need a get. She does not need a get. Fine, stay there. Obviously, Machlokes Rav and Shmuel. We pask in Shulchan Aruch, Eben HaEzer, Siman Lamed Ches. We pask in like Rav, that Kincha Atnai, Kincha Stam, she needs a get. So, Lachora, this entire issue of Tanai as a mode of solving the Aguna problem should not get off the ground. Because what am I going to do? I'll make a Tanai at the time of Kedushin. Right? But once I have Nisuin, a minute and a half later, 3 minutes later, how long it takes to read the ksuba, I'm basically invalidating the original tnai. The Gemara has a discussion how you go about invalidating. Is it achule achle l'tnai? Is it that the nisuin just revokes the tnai that I originally made? Or maybe the Gemara has a different reason of adam ein adam osa be'ilas o be'ilas. Note that the time of the bia with your wife, you are having in mind for kedushin, basically. Two different reasons. Of course, nafkaminas are huge. What happens if you don't have bia? Right? There's another nafkamina Rashi talks about in that sugi. You can look at the Rashi in terms of gvias ksuba. Two nafkaminas in that issue. But lamaisa, for us, right, it shouldn't really matter because we're passing, you need a get. Hitchot, tznai, kinsa, stam, you need a get. However, the Noda B'Yehuda has a tshuva. It's in this packet. There's one makar that's really kedai to read. In this Rabbi Glau packet, it is the Noda B'Yehuda's tshuva. And the Noda B'Yehuda's tshuva is very interesting. He says, okay, hitchot, tznai, kinsa, stam, you need a get. That's the halacha. But Zokin Noda B'Yehuda, I have a problem. My problem is that it's not so pashut, because if you look in Shulchan Aruch, in Simon Kuf Nun Zayin, which is already the halachos of Yibun, right, all the way at the end of Eben HaEzer. So the Ramah writes in Kuf Nun Zayin, HaMekadesh Isha, V'yesh lo ach mumer, yachol lekadesh ulahasnos bitnai kafol, shem tipo lifnei mumer liyavam shalotahe mekudeshes. Okay? The case is that Reuven is Mekadesh and Isha, and Reuven has a brother whose name is Jesus. And the reason his name is Jesus is because he is a mummer, right? So he is practicing a different religion. Now, Reuven's wife doesn't want to run the risk of falling legibum to Jesus, right? It's bad to be Jesus' wife. So Reuven is mekadish her on a tnai, and the tnai is a tnai, that if he dies in the situation that she'll fall to the mummer for yibum, right? So the kedushin will be null and void and she won't fall legibum. And the Ramah paskins, it's a good tnai. But 1 second, kitchal tnai kinsa stam, right? You still need a get. If you need a get, hey, if you need a get, that means there's a marriage. If there's a marriage, so then there should be yibum. You don't solve anything. Like, what's going on? This is your in Shulchan Aruch. On the one hand, we pass in like Rav. On the other hand, we have this Ramah. Right? It's a very big problem. So the Noid of Yehuda and his tshuva says something, la halacha v'lo lamaisa. Zakun Noid Yehuda, I'm not going to rely on this. But la halacha is true. What does he say? Noid Yehuda wanted to say that kincha al tnai, the kinsa stam, is only true if you have kiddushin followed by nisuin, and the nisuin itself is done without any stipulations. But if you're making an explicit tnai at the time of Nisuin, and the Noda B'Yehuda bases this on the way the Beis Shmuel understands that case in Kuf Nun Zayin, but if I make an explicit tnai at the time of Nisuin, that is going to be valid. Oh, well, okay. Right now there's already something to talk about. Moreover, the Noda B'Yehuda has a different reason. He says that if the tnai is Latovas Ha'isha, right, like this Mummer case, like she doesn't want to be married to Jesus, right? So if the tnai is a tovas isha, so such a tnai works. The only time that we assume that you get rid of the tnai is when it's not a tovas isha. The Noda B'Yehuda has two different ways of reconciling the psak of the Ramah and Kuf Nun Zayin with the way we pass it from Nekamar and Ksuvis. So if this is all correct, so the Noda B'Yehuda says it's the halacha of Ula Maisa, but comes along Rav Henkin, and he said it, la halacha Ula Maisa. He said, well, what I can recommend is a way to solve the aguna problem, that you are mekadesh and isha with a tnai, A, and you repeat the tnai at the time of nisuin. That is first thing, right? Now for us this isn't such a big deal because kedusha and nisuin happens 2 minutes apart from each other, right? Depending how long the rabbi reads the ksuba before, that's kedusha and nisuin chick chat. Not such a big deal. You know that nisuin is happening based on that original tnai. You can't say that you're getting rid of the original tnai. Moreover, the Rav Henkin recommended that the husband should write a get at the time of the original marriage, but he shouldn't write a regular get. If you've ever seen the way a regular get is written, a regular get is written b'ksav ashuris, you write like a sefer Torah. Right? It takes, for a normal person, it takes a good 40 minutes to write a get, but a sefer Narsei Bezdin, you can knock it off in 5 to 10 minutes. Right, Chick Jackie can knock it off. But Lamaisa, a normal get is a complicated thing to write. In this case, Reb Henkin recommended that you should write, the husband should write a get in his own handwriting in our regular Hebrew script, and it shouldn't use the full Nusach HaGet, it should use an abridged Nusach HaGet. And he also recommended that all the Bati Din in New York should impose a Cheirem Chamor, that anybody who decides to be Mekadosh his wife, Bebiyah, so that condition is going to be null and void. So even if the husband at some point in his mind gets this idea that he's having beer with his wife l'shem kedushin, no, that can't be because it's going to be against the cheirem chamor. So Rav Henkin has three conditions. A, you make the tznai at the time of the kedushin and nisuin. B, write this funny sort of partial get, little get thing, whatever. He gives you the nusach haget. C, right, is that you have this cheirem chamor about not being boel l'shem kedushin. And Rav Henkin said that this will work based on the Noida Yehuda, based on the entire sugya. Rav Aaron Cutler has a tshuva in the Mishnah of Aaron, that where he argues on the vociferous way. He takes the Rav Henkin's Eitza apart piece by piece. He says the Noida Yehuda never really meant it. It's a halacha of Olam Ma'isa. Writing this get, writing a get with a shorter nusach. Hey, the reason our get has a certain nusach is because we're choshish for lots of different shitas. Mehechates, it's going to be a kasher get. The cheirem chamor, it might not help. Everything is ripped apart. The footnotes at the bottom of this tshuva of Rav Aaron Cutler says that Rav Henkin wrote in the later editions of his Sefer Hadranavi that he himself backed out of it. So, Lamaisa, the lumdus here is very important. About Pichas Nai Bekintas Dam, but Lamaisa Tznai cannot be used as a way of rectifying the Aguna problem. The only thing that can really be used to rectify the Aguna problem, Bizman Hazeh, is a prenuptial agreement based on Tosefis Mizonos, Rabbi Wallen's form, or Rabbi Dwight's form, the original son.
So, it's in the prenup agreement, in order to encourage the husband to get the get, we have the woman pays.
No, the husband is mechayiv himself that I'm going to pay X number of dollars, a fixed sum, as a form of mizonos. Instead of giving her cheap food, right, a husband has to feed his wife, but he doesn't have to give her filet mignon every day.
So he's going
to
be...
He'll be mechayiv himself an exorbitant amount of money.
He'll be encouraged to avoid having to...
In case they're separated a certain amount of time, assuming they're separated a certain amount of time, so then mechayiv sets in. The assumption is, although it hasn't been tested yet in court, that this prenuptial agreement, am I correct, it hasn't been tested yet?
Mm-hmm.
The stuff that I read said that it hasn't been tested yet. The assumption is that this will be binding in court, these prenups. Yeah, so the reason Rabbonim are opposed to the prenup, the way Rabbi Willey presents it in his article, is that the Rabbonim are opposed to it because we don't like tampering with the wedding ceremony. We don't like adding new stuff. Rabbi Willey says, why would you be opposed to it? If I could show you that this is what was done 300 years ago in the Sefer Nachos Shiva, and he quotes it was done 500 years ago in Takana Shum. Shum is Spear, Vermeis, and Magenta, three cities in Germany. If I could tell you that this is how Yidden did it, so why would people really be opposed? Rav Moshe has a tshuva written to my Rosh Hashiva from Yeshiva Rakhli, Rabbi Yechiel Per, where he supports a type of prenup agreement. You know, it's done. It's done not really commonly in the Yeshiva world, in the YU world it's much more common, but there are very few people who have principled objections to it.
Is that also just for that?
So, yeah, I heard the Shmua, I don't know exactly... I don't know why. Okay, the next... Yes.
So, Lamaisa, why would people hold that the Tznai... Given that we paskin that the Tznai is good, and Shulchan Aruch, the Rama paskins that the Tznai is good for the brother case...
Right.
So, what's...
Yeah, so the problem is like how you reconcile that Rama with the Psak earlier in Shulchan Aruch. You know, the lumdus of the sugya gets, I'm trying to skirt that issue a teeny bit. Rabbi Blau didn't really go into it so much, but the lumdus gets complicated. Which type of tznai works, which tznai doesn't work. The Noda Yehuda, there are two different ways of resolving it, but even the Noda Yehuda didn't want to rely on it, Lamaisa. Like, it's kind of like you have a Shvera Ramah that's against the Psak of the Gemara. So to rely on that Ramah la Halacha.
But we do rely on that Ramah
in
the
Mummer
case.
Case. Yeah, but many Acharonim over there in Shulchan Aruch also are opposed to that Ramah as well. In other words, the Ramah says it, but it's a difficult Ramah. So we're trying to build a case on something that is schwer. And that's why you get into trouble.
But people are so mech in that case, right?
Okay, yeah. Okay, next issue, that next year, is moving, I guess, backwards in Evan Ezer, back to Evan Ezer Simon Chaf Beis, Rabbi Sabalovsky gave a shiur about the dinim of Yichud. I think this shiur, guys, I'm running Kedushin this year, and on my shiur now we're doing Yichud a little bit, so there's a lot to say about Yichud. Is Yichud an Isid Oraisa, Yichud an Isid Rabbanon? Pash, this is, the Gemara has a difficult lemur for Yichud. Yisischa, Chicha, Benoshicha, a very difficult lima from the pasuk, and the Gemara says remez lo yichud min haTorah. Well, the word remez might not be such a raya that's derabbanon. Sometimes the Gemara says the word remez and it means it's doraisa. Remez hanisal hamayim min haTorah. The Gemara in the first half is tainis. So remez might be doraisa. Not clear from the Gemara in Kedushin is yichud doraisa derabbanon, but lamaisa the Gemara in Avodah Zarah says clearly that yichud of arayis is doraisa, and there are three different stages in the iser of Yichud. Right, there is Yichud of Arayis, which is Din to Oraisa, Eshesish, all of Arayis, but Pashtus, even Nida. Tosa says in Sanhedrin and elsewhere that even Nida is considered an Erba for this purpose, so Yichud with a Nida is also going to be an Iser to Oraisa. Yichud of a Pnuya, if you have Yichud with a single unmarried girl who for some reason has gone to the mikvah, so Yichud with a Pnuya is only an Isser Drabbanon, or Yichud for that matter with a girl under the age of 12, right? There's a Yichud who begins at age 3, according to most poskim, we'll talk about that later. But Yichud with a Pnuya is only an Isser Drabbanon, based on the Takon of David. Yichud with a non-Jewish woman is a Gezer of Talmidim of Hillel and Shammai. Right? So we have three levels of Yichud, three different historical Gezeres, but three different stages. There's a Doraisa stage, and then two stages Midrabbanon. Now, when we assume that Yichud is Doraisa, so there's a famous comment of the Tshuva in the Rashba that is questioned by the Rashba himself in his Kedushim at the beginning of the Masechet Nida. But at least the Tshuva HaRashba assumes, and it's quoted by the first Pesukei Tshuva in Yichud, that Yichud is only Doraisa if you have a one-on-one situation, one guy, one girl. But you have two girls, so according to the Rashba, that's going to be a din derabbanan. That's not going to be a din d'oraisa. Similarly, if you have two guys and a girl, right? So that is for sure not d'oraisa. And two guys is probably going to be mutter. In most cases, yichud with two men and one woman is mutter. What are the exceptions? Prutim. Prutim is one exception. Now, what's a parutz? So this is the machlokas between the Rambam and the Ran. The Rambam assumes that the only people who are not parutz are tzaddikei elyon. The Gemara tells that one amora, he's not a parutz. Okay, so if you're that type of person, according to the Rambam, you're not a parutz. Everyone else is a parutz. The Ran, however, and the Ramah paskins in Sifhei, in Simon Chaf Beis Sifhei, the Ramah paskins like this Ran. The Ran says that a stam anoshim are considered kshayrim. The average Shomer Torah Jew is considered to be a kosher. That's the psak of the Ramah. Good. The question this man has said that comes up that Rabbi Sabalovsky didn't want to get into, but kind of people forced his hand. But what about if you have someone who's a Shomer Torah mitzvahs in every way that you know, but he watches movies, watches TV, internet, these types of things, does that make him a parutz? Rabbi Sabalovsky said it very nicely, very quickly, the post can address the issue, ad kan. Next. So one exception for the heter of yichud of two men and a woman is parutz. The other exception of yichud of two men and a woman is at nighttime. The Gemara tells us that at nighttime, actually the Gemara is talking really about Bederech, right? We assume that Laila and Derech is the same thing. The Gemara talks about Bederech, if you're traveling on the road, so two men and one woman is an Isser Yichud. Why? Because maybe one guy is going to have to go away, far away, have to use the restroom or whatever, the outhouse, the tree that's far away. So he's going to leave the girl with the other guy and that will create a situation of Yichud. So based on that, we aser yichud bederek. And also the poskim say we aser yichud at night. Now what's considered night for this issue? So night means the time is man shena, the time that people are sleeping. So Rabbi Sawalski in his shir talked about this case that what happened was his wife was out one night or something, and apparently the Sawalskis have a babysitter who's there for quite a long time, late at night. So the shaila is yichud is Rabbi Sawalski and the babysitter, and then usually it's not a problem because the halacha that we'll get to in passing is a tinok who's yodeya tam bia. Counts as a shomer. Right? So you have a kid who knows about bia, knows what bia is, and today that could be very young. Right? Today kids know what bia is at a pretty young age, but they won't be mosar themselves for bia, so such a kid solves all yichud issues. So if kozman, the kids are awake, it's going to be okay. But once the kids go to sleep, right, it's a little different application of the Lila rule. Right, we're talking about the lottery when you have two guys and it's man shena for the one of the guys. It's 11 o'clock at night, 12 o'clock at night, whenever people normally go to sleep. It's man shena for kids, it's obviously earlier, but the halacha is that once you're sleeping, you no longer serve as the shomer. So Rabbi Sabalowski said that what he does is he puts the kid to bed, then he quickly skedoodles out of the house. Of course, the kid ends up not going to sleep, but that's the dafka shalom. Fine. There is another important issue that comes up in Hilchos Yichud, just in terms of the number of people, and that is the famous shita of Rashi, that Rashi tells us in Kedushin and Daf Pei Beis that even though Yichud is aser with one man and two women, and that's a concern, the Gemara says, because Noshim dais and kalos, and Rashi understands Noshim dais and kalos, that maybe you'll be mafasa at both of them. Maybe you will seduce both of them to be with you. That shita is Rashi. But Rashi tells us on Daf Pei Beis in Kedushin, but if you have three girls and one guy, so then there's no concern, because how many girls are you going to seduce? Let's be honest. Maybe two, three. Not shy, too much. Right? That's the way many Achareinim understand Rashi. So Tosfos doesn't like Rashi's pshat. Tosfos says even one guy, three girls, is still an Isur Yichud. La halacha, right, do you follow Rashi or Tosfos? Rabbi Sabalowski kind of was getting in the direction that Bishas had thought Rashi's shita is a legitimate shita that can be relied on. Lachatkila, not so Bishas had thought yet. Okay, so the trick to Yichud, which is similar to the trick of Ribbis, is that the Isser is important to know about. But the real kunst to know Hilchos Yichud is that you could pretty much get around every shayla. Right? Every shayla you're going to have a Yichud, if you know the rules, you can solve it. So the best, one of the best situations to solve a Yichud issue is by Lavia. If a woman's husband is in the city, so then B'kahai Gavna, we assume that there is no Isser Yichud. Now why is that? So Rashi has a comment in Kedushin that Baal Be'er is noticing Yichud because she's concerned, in Mistafi, she's worried that the husband, Tashta Asi, is going to come right now. That's the Shita of Rashi. The Rambam disagrees with Rashi. The Rambam says that the reason for Baal Be'er having noticed Yichud is because Eimas Baal Olam. Now, if you would have asked me, I would say there's no Machlokes Rashi in Rambam, right? When the Rambam says that the she's scared of the husband. What she's scared is she's scared that the husband's going to show up with his AK-47 and blow her brains out if she's with some other guy. Right? That's what I would have said. But the Chazon Ish understands the Rambam differently. The Chazon Ish understands that when the Rambam speaks about Eimas Baila Aleha, what the Rambam means is that psychologically speaking, women are uneasy being with another man if the husband's in town. Eimas Baila Aleha. If the husband's in town, so psychologically, she won't do anything with another man because she's too tense, she's too uneasy. That's the shita of the Rambam. Assuming that the Chazon Ish's Pshat and Rambam is correct, so then we can create a few nafkaminas between the shita of Rashi and the shita of Rambam. Again, according to Rashi, Baal Be'er is because the husband might show up. According to the Rambam, Baal Be'er is because psychologically, Eimas Baal Aleha, she's terrified. So So what are the nafkaminas that we can create? So one nafkamina is, let's say, you know the husband's not coming, but he's in the city, right? Husband goes to work, and he calls up at 6 o'clock at night and says, "Dear, I'm sorry, honey, but, you know, I got to stay in the office a little bit late." And, you know, the office is 45 minutes away, and he says he's going to stay for another half an hour. You know he ain't coming. You know he's not coming. So according to Rashi, there's no hefter of baila for here, because he's not going to come. But according to the Rambam, kol zman that you're in the same city, so l'chora, there's a hefter of baila be'ir. There's a few razzle-dazzle nafkaminas also. I think that's the Rabbi Sablowski word, so you'll have to use it in this year. Right, a few razzle-dazzle nafkaminas. One is the Chochmas Adam has a shita. The Chochmas Adam says Azai. He goes, baila be'ir. Right? So Rashi says, what's she concerned about? That the husband's going to show up. Okay. Right? She's concerned that the husband will show up. And the Gemara tells us that by baila be'ir, there's an exception. There's one case that there's no hefter baila be'ir. That's the case of libo gaspa. Right? The case of that the woman and the guy have a certain close personal relationship. Halakhically in Yichud, this is one of the hardest issues to define. What exactly is considered libo gaspa? Unclear. But let's say, you know it's legal gas, but they've been best friends forever, shoshvinin, however you talk about it in the Gemara, this is real legal gas. So, the Chacham Sanu says, I don't understand. Why is there no hetter baila be'ir when it's legal gas? Shouldn't she be worried that as close as she is with this guy, but the husband comes in and sees that their mamish having bia, wouldn't the husband still, like, blow her brains out? Shouldn't she still be worried that maybe the husband's going to come b'shas ma'isa? So Zok l'chach masadim, no, you know what you see? You see that when Rashi says that she's worried that the husband's going to come, she's not worried that the husband will come b'shas ma'isa, the husband's going to come during the bia. What she's worried about is that the husband is going to come when they're having yichur, and the husband will suspect that they previously had bia. Therefore, the Chochmas Adam has a chiddush. The Chochmas Adam's chiddush is that if the husband gave the wife permission to be misyaki with a certain man, so b'kahai gavna, if the husband shows up and sees that the wife is having yichud, he's not going to think any hanky panky is going on because he gave her permission. If that's the case, so maybe paradoxically hanky panky might be going on, and then there isn't a yichud. So the chumrah of the Chochmas Adam is that there is no hefter of baila be'ir if the husband gives her permission to be with this guy. That's one chumrah of the Chochmas Adam. Another chumrah of the Chochmas Adam is that there's no hefter of baila be'ir when she is in a different house. Baila be'ir is only if she's in her regular home. But let's say she goes, for example, a doctor's office, right? That's going to be a case that we'll address later on. Or she goes to a neighbor's house in some case. There's no hefter baila be'ir b'kahai gavna. Why? Because the husband's not going to go to some other house. He'll go to his own house. Both chumras of the Chochmas Adam, however, only make sense according to Rashi. Both chumras only make sense if you understand that the concern of baila be'ir is that the husband's going to show up. And the Chochmas Adam understands he'll show up when they're having yichud after, and he'll suspect that they had bia beforehand. But if you hold like the Rambam, so Lamaisa, in all of these cases, it should be mutter, even if she's in some other house. But psychologically, there's going to be existential angst, as Rabbi Soloveitchik would have said. Right? There's going to be a lot of pain in her mind. She won't do anything as long as the husband's in the same city. And Lamaisa, even if the husband gives her permission to be misyakin with the guy, but still, Amos Bailala in the psychological sense. So all of the Chochmas Adam's coolers are not true or would not apply according to the Rambam. Another nafkamin that could be created between the Rambam and Rashi, again, the Rambam is understood by the Chazon Ish, Amos Baila Aleha, the psychological, versus that she's concerned that the husband will show up now, is what's the boundary of the city? No? According to Rashi, L'chora, right, it's not a din of Baila Be'ir per se. If you live in the Gemara city of Nineveh, which is pretty big, or you live in Manhattan, and you're up in Washington Heights, or she's up in Washington Heights, and you're working down in Battery Park, right? And the mayor said, wait, are you really worried? The Mr. Feed of the bar is going to come now. You know how long it takes to get from Battery Park up to Washington Heights with traffic? It takes a long time. You're not really worried. So obviously, the definition of ear, according to Rashi, should be any makom karov. But for the Rambam, one could argue that perhaps the definition of ear is whatever people call the same city. Psychologically speaking, oh, my husband's in Manhattan still, so she won't do anything. My husband's in Brooklyn. Right, that's a good question. Wait, the Brooklyn, Manhattan, same city, different cities. The husband's in Teaneck, that's for sure a different city. Right, so then maybe she'll do something. Lamaisa, according to the Rambam, you could hear that the definition of ear is what we would call a city. But according to Rashi, it should have to be proximity, not a city. There's another nafkamina that Rabbi Kabalski mentioned in Shir, but I don't understand it. He said the nafkamina might be witness. I had to vial up the ear on the guy. How would that work? I was trying to figure this out. I'm not sure. But if I'm worried that the guy's going to show up, so he still might come.
No psychological fear.
And there's no psychological fear? If there's no psychological fear, why would she be... I'm not sure how the nafkamina works out. Rabbi Sabolsky mentioned this nafkamina. I have to speak to him. I don't know. That women would be uneasy to do anything when the husband's in the city. That a Goyish woman, would she be uneasy? I just don't know. You know, I could go either way with that. Okay, so that's the Hesher of Yichud called by Lavi'ir.
Maybe for a Goy who might be honest, and therefore it's a Goy. The Goy will be scared of the husband walking in, but doesn't care if the husband's just floating around.
In other words, if you understand that the husband will come not like the Chochmas Adam, you understand the husband will come Mamish B'Shas Ma'isa. Maybe. Maybe and what the psychological pressure, we assume, won't be there. She's worried that her husband might blow her brains out if she's with some other guy. But
he's worried that the husband will blow his brains out if she's with some other guy. But he doesn't care what she thinks, what her stresses are.
Maybe. Okay, the other big kula of Yichud is the kula of Pesach Pasua, the Rishus HaRabim, when the door is open to Rishus HaRabim. Here again, there's a large discussion. The Rebbe Kiva Eger and the Beis Meir quoted in the Pesach Tshuva, which is in your packets here. They assume that Pesach Pasuach Rishus HaRabim has got to be really Pasuach. It's got to be all the way open. And others point out that the Tshuva's HaRashba says that Pesach Pasuach Rishus HaRabim, the door is closed as long as it's not locked. Lahalocha, Rabbi Sabalovsky assumes that it all depends on the situation. If you live in a community that people will walk through doors, right? The Chazon Ish writes about the Tera Adam who will walk through a door even though the door is closed and not locked. If you live in that type of community that people walk through the door, for example, if you live in IHP or something, so my impression is in the IHP apartments, guys walk in and out, like, things go on, so it could be that might be considered Pesach Pasuach, even if the door is closed, not open. Again, assuming it's a time of day that people will still come in. Right? But if it's not such an area, so the door's got to be all the way wide open. But even if the door is all the way wide open, it has to be to Rishus HaRabim. What's considered Rishus HaRabim? Not 100% clear either. Chochmas Adam himself entertains that maybe has the status of Rishus HaRabim for Tumah and needs to be people. Yeah, the Poskim aren't so into that one. Three people around? Not really. But... right, the poskim Rabbi Yoshev gives a shir. Some poskim always have to give numbers. So Rabbi Yoshev gives a number, 10 minutes. People come by every 10 minutes. That's considered Rishus HaRabim. In this neighborhood, what, 1 o'clock in the morning? Right, there's still people walking in the hallways and some of these buildings. Right, so could be it's Rishus HaRabim. Very late at night. The Achrayim, the Noi Yehuda, and the Ezer Mikodesh point out that the din is not only Pesach Pasuach Rishus HaRabim. The din is also Chalom Pasuach Rishus HaRabim. If you have windows that open to Rishus HaRabim, people could see in. Assuming it's not tinted windows, people could see in. So then it is not a place of Yichud. There is a discussion in Achrayim whether Pesach Pasuach Rishus HaRabim helps on someone who's legal gaspa. It's Machlokes Chelkas Machlokes Kentaz, something to look into. Now, this issue of Chalom Pasuach Rishus HaRabim, when the windows open to Rishus HaRabim, that's Matir Yichud, that's very important because cars. There's probably no Isser Yichud in a car, no? Because, right, as long what? Ramosha has a tshuva, we'll talk about that in a second. Right, that's in the packet. But as long as the car is driving on the road and people could see into the car, there are other cars going by, so l'chora, that's considered Pesach or Pesach or Shifts Rabbim. However, there's two opinions, right? That's what Rabbi Yoshev paskins, that it's considered Pesach, Pesach or Shifts Rabbim if you're in a car, as long as it's at a time that there are other people on the road. Rabbi Moshe was much more machmir in cars. Rabbi Moshe assumes that a car is going to be a yichud problem because maybe you'll take her, even though right now you're on a major thoroughfare and people are all around, but maybe you'll drive off and you'll go to the woods and you'll be in a real yichud situation. So therefore Rabbi Moshe says cars are usher in yichud.
That's only like in, when you're like on your way to the mountains, right? Like in Manhattan.
Rabbi Moshe would say that a car, even in Manhattan, is also because maybe you'll go off the road to some secluded area. You can find some secluded area somewhere, and maybe you'll have yichud there. Rabbi Moshe would answer it. So that's a tremendous chumrah, which l'chora we don't follow. Right? Anyone who's ever been on the date doesn't follow the chumrah of Rabbi Moshe. The other the cooler side over here is where Shlomo Zalman is interesting. Shlomo Zalman's truth is about taking a woman to the hospital when she's in labor. And the shayla is yichud with the ambulance driver and the woman. So first of all, Shlomo Zalman has a whole pilpul about whether it could be, is it yichud, woman's in, if this is yichud is a chashash, maybe you have beer with her, you're going to have beer with the woman who's in labor pains. Okay, so that's the first pilpul that Shlomo Zalman has in that tshuva. But it's clear from that tshuva, like in passing, as Kamalski point out, that Rav Shlomo Zalman assumes that there is no iser yichud at all in a car, even if there are no people on the roads, even if it's a deserted road. Rav Shlomo Zalman is saying, you have to look at the tshuva yourself, but it sounds like Rav Shlomo Zalman is saying there's no iser yichud at all in the car. And as Kamalski pointed this out in the shiur, it's a very big chiddush because none of the Svarim quote this tshuva of Rav Shlomo Zalman. But Hitaka says it. Hitaka says it. You can take a look. It's right in there. Okay.
But the story is, could be someone like that.
I think the story is that a car is not a makom vehicle. Right? The basic idea of a moving vehicle is not, if the issue of yichud is a chashash that you have a moving vehicle is not a makom vehicle. That doesn't mean there's no yichud in the car if you're sitting in a parked car. Then it will be a makom vehicle. But a moving car, a moving ambulance, right, that's going to be okay. What?
Try the
woman
might be
too.
And then the ambulance driver.
Oh, okay, right. I mean, in many cases, Rav Shlomo Zalman's truth is about a case that it's only the ambulance driver and the woman. Okay, let's just try to do a few more issues very quickly. Office visits. So we already mentioned the issue that according to the Chachmas Ozum, Bayal Be'er won't help because it's not in the same house. Many Achrayinim assume, like Rav Shlomo Zalman, that a woman who has a doctor's office visit follows the regular gedarim of yichud, that you need a Pesach Pesuach, another, or you know, Chalom Pesuach or something. It has to be that the secretary or somebody else could come into the examination room, some situation along those lines. The regular rules of yichud. Rav Moshe Feinstein has a big kula. Rav Moshe assumes that by doctor's office, this is really a greater heter of yichud because of mirsa. Since the doctor would be sued, his pants off, if he's caught doing anything. So l'maisa omen l'mara v'nase, he's not going to do anything, so really there's no iser yichud. And Moshe points out, though, that l'maisa, if it's after regular doctor's hours and the secretary's not there, then you shouldn't have yichud in the doctor's office anyway, but during regular hours and stuff, even if it's not technically a Pesach Pesuach, even if the secretary, the office manager, whatever it is, doesn't come into the office, still there's no iser yichud. There's no iser yichud with certain relatives, a mother, a daughter, a sister, we paskin, that there is an iser yichud if you live with her, b'kviyos, but ba'aroi, there's no iser yichud, what's considered kviyos, so the Imre Yosher assumes 30 days together is considered kviyos, and Moshe Feinstein has a different take. He assumes that as long as people assume that it's a temporary relationship, it's usher. When people assume it's a permanent relationship, it becomes usher. This issue of no yichud with relatives, though, we assume is because biologically speaking, there's no taiva. That's what Rashi sounds like in Kedushin. But biologically speaking, you have no taiva for your relatives. Aishik Nesetai Gadol, or Mavato, the taiva for relatives. Now, all relatives, obviously, your aunt isn't a siyichud, but your mother, daughter, sister, there's no tie before. If that's the case, that's a biological thing, so Reb Moshe points out one of his truth is that, let's say you have an entire family of non-Jews that convert to Judaism. So is there a heter for the Kodah Nisiyichud? Well, on the one hand, Ger, Sheh, Nisgai, your cousin Shneilad Dami. So you could say, hey, just because halachically you're not my mother, halachically you're not my father, you're some other person, then there should be an Nisiyichud. Moshe says, no, this is a biological issue, there is no Nisiyichud in that case. Adopted children is a problem. Yichud, according to many poskim, the Lubavitcher Rebbe wrote a letter to the Ozer HaPoskim, the end of the Yichud thing, where he wanted to aser adopting children because of the concern for Yichud. Apparently, Lubavitcher used to come up here to Washington Heights to ask Shabbos Rav Salo Beijing because the Rebbe was makel on adopting children. Rav Moshe is also makel on Yichud with adopted children. Rav Moshe is an interesting cheshbon, the same type of cheshbon that Rav Moshe has. Rav Moshe holds that all these deterrents, these external things, will be matter yichud. So therefore, he says, you know, what's the concern with yichud? You adopt a kid. You have a father, a mother, and a daughter. So you worry that the father will be misyakel with the daughter. If that's the case, the daughter's going to tell the mother. And that would strain the relationship between the mother and the father. Well, not mother. Adopted mother, adopted father. So the kahai gavna, since that would strain the relationship, that's enough of an external deterrent that that should be matir the yichud. My impression is this is all of what we did in Rabbi Sapolsky's yichud shir. Okay, let's actually skip Rabbi Reese's shir because it will take too long. I think in 5 minutes we could go through Rabbi Brander's shir and Sneas. If guys could, right, guys can give 5 minutes. It might be to 11:32, not to 11:30, but those who have to leave have to leave. Okay, the Gemara in Menachos, Rabbi Brander began this year in Sneas with the Gemara Menachos and Mendala. The Gemara talks about this fellow who tried to cohabit with every zone in the world. Rabbi Brander wanted to bring out a hashgafic point from that Gemara that the Gemara uses the number 7 repeatedly. The Gemara says that the woman converted to Judaism and she kept the same bed sheets. Obviously, in Yanim of Tashmish Hamita or in Yanim of Kedusha, Chazal warned us to treat it with not with prudishness, but with a sense of Kedusha. And that should impact on our entire approach to Tznius. Rabbi Brander's basic theme in his shir was that there's a difference between objective erva and subjective erva. This is unique to Tznius. Most halachos apply clear across the board. But in Tznius, you have certain dinim. For example, the Mishnah Berura talks, it's in Rabbi Brander's Makoros and Simon Ayin Hesef Katnudas. The Sefer talks about covering that, right from here to here, covering the legs, let's say, until the knee, according to many poskim, depending on your definition of shok. The Mishnah says that this is societal. Do you have to always wear stockings? Can the girl wear socks or not? It depends on your community. That is a subjective aspect of arayis. There is a machlokas Rambam and Ramban about whether lo sikrut ulegalos erva. Right, the Torah tells us, don't come close to erva. What does that mean? So the Rambam understands the chibuk and nishuk is going to be an isur d'oraisa. It's part of lo sikrut. The Ramban, at least the major position in the Ramban, is that lo sikrut refers to the ma'isa bia itself. And chibuk nishuk krev al arayis. One opinion in the Ramban is that it's derabbanon. One opinion in the Ramban is that it's a chatzi shir. Interesting, chatzi shir. It's a chatzi shir of the iser bia. But the point is, for the Ramban, there's certainly no malchus on krev al arayis, whereas for the Rambam, there will be. Okay, but even the Rambam, who assumes that there is malchus on krev al arayis, the Shach points out in Yeridah in a few places that that's only if it is derech chiva. If you have negiyah but derech chiva, so then the Rambam would say that that's considered krev al arayis. But if it's not derech chiva at all, so then it will not be an iser according to the Rambam. It won't be an iser d'oraisa. Reb Moshe took this Rambam a little bit further. All you see from the Rambam is that negiyah shaloi b'derech chiva is going to be the Shach's understanding of the Rambam, that Negiyah Shalom B'Derech Chiva is not going to be the Isidori Raisa. For a Moshe and the Tshuva, this is my addition to Rabbi Brander Shir. It didn't make this. However, a Moshe and the Tshuva goes a little bit further, because a Moshe and the Tshuva about being on the bus with lots of people, and you're going to come to touch bus stop, which is actually written, there's a fellow who comes to every YU Max basketball game. Rabbi, what's his name? Shohan from the Lower East Side. It's an older gentleman. Since we come to every Max game for 60 years, if you ever want to meet him, the first thing he'll tell you is that there's a Tshuva Nigvas Moshe written to me. It's a Tshuva about the buses and subways. You meet him at any Max game. He's the guy wearing the big black hat and black coat, sitting there cheering for the Max. He put in his tshuva, so Rav Moshe says that's going to be heter gomer to ride on the buses because it's negiya shelo b'deres chiba. Now, Taisus at the end of Maseches Kedushin, the Gemara has a story about a certain fellow put his granddaughter on his lap and is playing with her. One of the Amorim is playing with his granddaughter on his lap. The Gemara asks, "I aim b'shtamshin b'isha klal." Right, so the Gemara answers, "Oh, I hold like Edoch to Shmuel, like Shmuel said, Hakol Hashem Shemayim." So Taisus points out, Mikan, from here we have our heter that we are Mishtamshim b'Noshim, which means the Rambam passes like this in Shulchan Aruch that you could have women give you a bath in some sort of strange way, that women give people bath, and that's not the Isser of Ein Mishtamshim b'Isha. Rabbi Brander in his shir quoted this Rema that it's going to be mutter if it's Vashem Shamayim, and he felt that, and there are others who say this, that Me'ikar Hadin Chibuk and Nishuk in our society might be mutter. To kiss and to hug in our society might not be Derechiba at all, and if it's Vashem Shamayim, that's an important caveat, if it's Vashem Shamayim, so then you can be make or make a kerhadin. However, Rabbi Brander spent a lot of time in his shiur focusing on the fact that even if it's technically mutter, but rabbis shouldn't do this. He kept on stressing that point, and it's a very important point. Rabbi Brander also played a little bit more on the issue of objective erev versus subjective erev in terms of covering hair. This machlokas in Mishnah Berurah, since it's objective, you can never make a bracha in front of a woman with uncovered hair. The Aruch HaShulchan doesn't say that women don't have to cover their hair. That's a mistake. But the Aruch HaShulchan does say that the Zman said that many women don't cover their hair, so you do. There's no Isser making a bracha in her presence. Brander also quoted a Yad HaLevi, that the Yad HaLevi writes that the Zman said a lot of women don't cover their hair. I think if you read the Yad HaLevi carefully, he's saying it's still other. But Bizman has said just many women don't cover their hair.
Who's Yadalev?
So Yadalev was an interesting fellow. He was a Rav in Hartford, Connecticut. He's a tremendous talmid chacham. Rav Shefi calls him Nefesh HaRav, from the Pnei Rav in one place, that one time the boys in Shir pointed out a certain svara to the Rav that came from the Sefer Yadalev, and the Rav said he completely disagrees with this svara, but he has to think about it again, because everything he says you have to think about. The Rav held with this guy. I forgot his name, but the American Jewish Legacy Foundation just reprinted the Yad HaLevi. You can get it now. Good. So Rabbi Brander in his shiur just gave a few very practical aces about how to deal with tznius issues, and some of these are very important. Lamaisa, at one point, Rabbi Brander hung up these big placards in front of his shul to say, these are the dress code and shul, that's a bad idea. You could get beaten up for that. Don't do that too much. What he did that worked is he had fancy sweaters that were given out. He had one woman sit in the Ezra's Nashim and distribute nice-looking sweaters to the women who came to shul not dressed properly. Obviously, it's better if women do this than if men do it. The rabbi's wife is a much more useful person than the rabbi himself. Rabbi Brander's major theme was just that even if stuff is technically mutter, but lamaisa rabbanim should avoid it. He spoke about mixed dancing in this context, and he had a few comments about how long sleeves have to be. Just to clarify his comments, Rav Shefa explained to me that the Rav used to always speak about not wearing sleeveless, because in the 1950s and early 60s, sleeveless was a very common, so it's not common fashion thing, lots of women wearing sleeveless, and the Rav would always say, you can't wear sleeveless. But I don't think you should go around saying that the Rav's shita is that it only has to go up to here. Right? The Rav was just always spoke about sleeveless because that's what people wore. Okay, and I think the one point that we didn't talk about now, Rabbi Brandeshir, is when we pass in Shulchan Aruch that women have to cover their hair, achas pinuya, achas eshes ish, so there's a machlokes between the Magen Avraham, the Magen Giporim. What does that mean, that pinuya has to cover her hair? Is it a pinuya who is divorced, or pinuya who is an almana? Is that what we're talking about? Are we talking about that every girl, every single girl should cover her hair, not in the full hair covering sense, but in the sense of having her hair braided? Basically, hair covering came in again because this is another good example of objective erva versus subjective erva. Right? Hair covering, we have the stinking, das Moshe, das Yehudis, the hair completely uncovered is Nisidai Raisa, beyond that is Talian and Hagim, again, objective versus subjective. So I think we did three of the Shiurim, and we'll need a little bit more to finish up the Ebenezer as a segment. Shkaya.
How much can be
sitting out of the room? Yeah, so this thing, Ramosha says two etzba'os around the